Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM Sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Get everything for your next project today at Menards and save big money. Right now, all stock outlets with USB ports are on sale. Ditch the need for bulky USB adapters. Upgrade your home with features like ultra-fast charging, allowing you to charge your smart devices up to 40% faster than standard USB outlets. Also, view our weekly flyer on Menards.com and check out all the great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Hello and welcome to another episode of The Imprint Companion, the podcast that discusses the new release titles from each batch of Imprint Films, a beautiful boutique Blu-ray label here in Australia. My name is Alexi Toliopoulos, and on this episode, we're going through our part two on the batch from June 2022, and we are looking at the historical epics of a maritime nature. We're looking at these boat pictures that came out in this batch, and joining me as always to do so is my dearest and nearest, it's Mr. Blake Howard.
Oh, look, getting wet with seawater with you is one of my most favorite things, even virtually, in these maritime pictures. Thank you so much for
you
that.
You know
it.
Me, Blake, I love to watch those pictures that are filled with semen, and this is one that is just chock full of the stuff.
Chock full indeed. Look, we're going to kind of go backwards in this batch. We're going to work up and through some spine numbers that we normally don't do because there is an absolute standout in this batch, which we'll eventually get to. We're going to kick things off, Alexi, with a film that I had not only never seen, but had never heard of. And I was so, and I, this is why one of the things I love about Imprint Companion is like going, I have no idea what this is. And then I see Sidney Poitier is in a film about Viking adventurers and mysterious, mystical, mythical objects. And I'm like, holy shit, I'm so in. And mainly also a couple of our favorite words that come up in this batch too, cinema and scope. You smash them together, you get cinema scope. So we're pretty excited to talk, but let's kick off with our very first film in this batch, The Long Ships. Why don't you guys have a listen to the trailer and then we will come back and talk all about it.
A legend? No, my friend. May Allah strike me dead if all I have told you is not true. Somewhere, lost, stolen, perhaps hidden away, hangs that great golden bell.
Where? What happened to the bell?
There are those who know.
Do you?
Perhaps.
You see, I was shipwrecked. I'm simply trying to get back to my homeland.
Give us fair winds and a prosperous voyage in return for her young life.
The Long Ships from director Jack Cardiff. A maverick Norse warrior guides his Viking brother, the king's daughter, and a long ship full of warriors in search of the fabled Mother of Voices, a giant solid gold bell. Coveted by Ali Mansur, a Moorish prince obsessed with retrieving the legendary bell at any cost.
This one is directed by Jack Cardiff. It stars... I mean, some of these names you may not immediately know, but firstly, it stars Richard Widmark, Sidney Poitier, Rust Hamlin, Rosanna Scafino, and Oscar Homolka. This was a kind of insane, epic thing. Vikings versus Moors, so, you know, the kind of like Arabic warriors versus like the Vikings. It starts off with this kind of mythical, like awesome introduction of...
Oh my lord, Blake, that introduction was unbelievable.
Like, any movie with like, and I immediately jumped out, I was like, movies like a national treasure or like some adventure, like some adventure object thing usually start
fantasy
out.
Fantasy
movies that they're like, they're looking for a mysterious object. They've all taken keen notes from Jack Cardiff's The Long Ships, whether they realize it or not. Like, has the most amazing beginning where Richard Widmark's character, he... basically is on a ship. Rolf, he's the captain, he's the lone survivor. When he is healed by these monks, he starts observing the walls and tapestries that they've created out of colorful rocks, and it tells this mythical treasure. And basically, when he is starting to tell this story, as he's trying to find a way to get back home to his Viking brethren, he encounters Sidney Poitier's Ali Mansur, who is obsessed with this object. And once he has that, they are in this continual battle to like find a way to get him to lead them to this mythical object, because they believe that he knows the location. And what I thought was really interesting, like, I don't know about you, was like, as I was watching this movie unfold, I was really shocked at like how long the setup for these two guys fighting over how they were going to get to this object was before we actually got to the object itself. And the fact that I wasn't bored, I was like into it the whole time. I think these two characters work so well with each other, partially because Sidney Poitier, just like any great villain, is probably more watchable than the lead of this movie. He's more curious. He's more, he's got empathy. He's got empathy. You can see that they're basically two sides of the same coin, these people that are obsessed and are using their power for sort of kind of nefarious ways, despite the fact that lives are going to be lost. But no, I had such a superb time watching The Long Ships. And again, the scale of this thing is absolutely insane. And there is a moment where they discover, spoilers for this 1964 movie, they discover this mythical object. And usually in movies like this, discovering the mythical object is one thing, and then getting it onto your boat seems like this secondary thing. But once they find this, it has one of the most spectacular scenes of like the lives they are willing to lose to get this treasure that I think I've ever seen in almost any movie. It just completely freaking blew me away. And I had such a fun time with this.
I'm with you. I had such a fun time with this movie. It harkens back to a lot of movies I grew up watching, which is like Jason and the Argonauts and stuff, like those kind of grand epic sea voyage adventures that are of that kind of ancient culture, like ancient Greek or Viking. And this one is so enjoyable. And I would say what really kicks it off is that really impressive opening number, which is the monologue about what the legend of this golden bell is. And it is set against like these really surreally captured mosaics telling the story. And then there's kind of superimposed imagery that are like silhouetted people running across them. It feels like a James Bond introduction.
Yeah, totally.
In a really interesting and strange way that really jumped out at me. But this one is cool, man. Like just to see those giant boats and stuff, you can't really fake that stuff in this era, and it looks wonderful. I really enjoyed these great special features with Kim Newman, who I always love, and historian Sheldon Hall once again going into like the weird production of this and how this film even exists in this way, and who Jack Cardiff is, who Richard Widmark is, and why Sidney Poitier at the start of his career appears in this one strange giant epic film.
Yeah, look, I think this is maybe the funnest movie. Like it's not as contemplative. It is just this pure energetic adventure. And again, looking at it from that technical perspective, you guys know when you say like a Viking boat, you know these huge things we're talking about, you know the beautiful shapely ends to them and how they look like they can't move, but they literally create like maybe 20 of these things for this movie, just for sometimes it's just for the background of a shot, and then others that have to move around and fight and move and maneuver. And I was just so impressed with the locations of this movie. I was so impressed with the scale of the production. The Moors are all decked out in, you know, these Persian warriors are all decked out in this incredible garb, this incredible armor. They've got these incredible swords. The colors are so vibrant and rich. The Vikings are shitbags, which you know they are, but like it's kind of this unabashed thing. There's no like, it feels like there's no honor among thieves, and they're all kind of like differing levels of deplorable kinds of characters. But man, they're fun, like a really fun watch.
The next film that we're going to discuss, Blake had a chance to catch up with. It is a movie known by a few titles, but the title on this disc is Damn the Defiant, starring Alec Guinness and Anthony Quayle.
I'll give you a toast to Defiant, an efficient ship and a happy one.
An efficient ship, sir.
Napoleon's overrunning Italy. He's bound to bring Spain in on his side.
Yeah.
Therefore, I presume you'll want to change plans and put in here at Gibraltar.
I've seen no signal countermanding our orders.
No, but since...
Which are to proceed to Corsica with all possible dispatch.
Why is everybody afraid of the word mutiny?
I'm not afraid of the word if it fits.
Why have you countermanded my orders?
As commander of the British warship HMS Defiant, the humane Crawford strives to maintain order throughout the ship against the ceaseless brutality of sadistic first mate Scott Paget. After Crawford is injured in a fiery battle, angry seaman Vizard leads the crew to mutiny. So that humane Captain Crawford is played by Alec Guinness. Dirk Bogarde plays Scott Paget, the first mate, and Anthony Quayle plays Vizard, who is kind of the heart and soul of this thing. What I would say is this. People may or may not have heard us talking about it on the podcast. One of my next film that we're doing a big deep dive on in One Heat Minute Productions is Master and Commander. And one of the things I love about Damn the Defiant is, God, it is an absolutely glorious, glorious seafaring adventure that is very particular about the order and the structure and the kind of the requirements of having this hierarchy for like a naval nation that each of these different ships are is to work. And what's cool about HMS Defiant, it's there at a time where Britain is fighting the French. They're doing anything they can do it. And they're even ever so brief time on land scounging up more crew at, you know, conscripting them basically to this. It gives you a whole sense that a benevolent captain like Crawford, played by Alec Guinness, is exactly what this crew needs to actually have the cohesion to go off and fight for country and maybe start believing in, you know, some of the, you know, the rah-rah that comes around with all the British propaganda. But Dirk Bogarde, Scott Paget, there's an immediate thing where he starts to take advantage of Crawford's leniency. And it's not the crew that is thinking about mutiny for Crawford. It's actually that they're willing to work alongside Crawford and try and make, a new system, something that maybe helps them out and helps the broader crew better. But Bogarde is just like this tyrant. And one of the things I loved about it is that it absolutely looks glorious. The seaside shooting is not as dynamic because obviously one of the things that you notice if you've seen something like Master and Commander, the thing you marvel at is the way that Weir can move a camera and how contemporary cameras can move on a ship and the space and the scale. And on this ship, things are more rigid, but it is one of the most gloriously produced movies as far as production design. Guinness is just so wonderful in this. And on the special features of this disc, one of the things I would say is there is a terrific feature called Defiant Crew. And it's an interview featurette with the production manager, Richard Goodwin, and assistant editors, John Crome and Norman Winstall, and a prop master, John Chisholm, as well as special effects master at the time, Martin Guttridge. And they're all these old boys who were all young, probably our age when they made this movie. And they were looking at Alec Guinness like he was their absolute hero of heroes. And this was meant to be. Alec Guinness was like doing this movie to just get out of his final contract. And he got Lewis Gilbert, who has one of the most incredible, we've talked about directors on this two episodes of the Dune Imprint series, but Lewis Gilbert is a guy who directed Alfie. He directed
Moonraker.
He directed Educating Rita. He made films from like his early 30s all the way till his 90s. He made The Spy Who Loved Me as well. You Only Live Twice. He's done a bunch of Bonds in there. I'm trying to go back through the slasher he made. He has an amazing resume, and this is just one of them. And they talk about him in such great terms and his directing style. They talk about being just idolizing Guinness and everyone on the crew idolizing Guinness and loving the tension that was created between those two guys. So this movie for me is special in this batch because I'm like, it feels like the homework assignment I never knew that I needed to do for one of my next projects. So it was really meaningful for me, but it was also just like watching again, how they could even achieve to do something like this. It was really great. And you know, the action is really quite terrific, but the old boys, man, the old boys. You got to love those old boys talking about their halcyon days of making movies and just the cool, the effortless cool of the Guinness anecdotes. It was just really special.
Wow. Oh, God. I can't wait to rip into this one. But there is one film in this batch that I think deserves a little moment in the spotlight because it was one that has been on my radar for quite some time. And it coming out in this beautiful new Blu-ray from Imprint Films was such a worthy way to finally watch A Night to Remember.
The new White Star Liner RMS Titanic is the largest vessel in the world. It is not only in size, but also in the luxury of her appointments that the Titanic takes first place among the big steamers of the world.
Well, the weather looks clear enough so far. If there's the slightest bit of haze, we shall have to slow down. Let me know at once if you're doubtful.
Aye, aye, sir.
She's unsinkable.
She can't float.
Roy Baker's 1958 smash A Night to Remember, is of course set on April 10th, 1912, where the unsinkable RMS Titanic sets sail from Southampton on her maiden voyage when the ship hits an iceberg, spoilers, late at night on April 14th. The situation looks bleak. Chaos breaks out both above and below deck as the passengers and crew race against time for their survival. Obviously, this is the sinking of the Titanic. Obviously, Titanic, one of the biggest movies of all time, eats A Night to Remember's lunch. Alexi, tell me what you thought going back to revisit this thing, because the first thing that I thought was, how the hell did they do this thing in 1958?
It is really special, Blake. This movie completely blew me away. I had known this was great. I'd known this movie was great. But, you know, when you hear about films about Titanic, James Cameron's film is the one that springs to mind. And I'd never gone back and watched any of the other ones. I've never seen The Unsinkable Molly Brown with Debbie Reynolds. I had heard about this one quite a lot. And going back to this film, it was an absolutely emotionally devastating experience. I was like blubbering and crying watching this movie. I found this movie to be so visually powerful and so interesting because it just, it really builds in a fascinating way. This is like Altman before Altman. There's no clear narrative lead. There's no protagonist. There's not really a thrust. It just captures that snapshot on the Titanic of how life changes for all these different people in that moment. There's all these different stories that are divided by class, by sex, by gender, and I found it so fascinating. And the way that this film builds as this interesting, almost hyperlink style snapshot, I found devastating to get to know all these people, to get to know their lives. The way this kind of builds from the pleasant to the inevitable disaster is so powerful. And without that overarching story, it kind of finds so much detail in the humanity, in these little enriching moments. And the way this film really, what it does so special is that it captures those apocryphal moments that have become folklore or legend now. That we know, like, oh, there's that chef that survived by drinking vodka and drinking and surviving on spirits. And you see the way that builds up. He's one of the characters that this follows. There's all those little moments that are just things that you know, like, oh, the band decides to keep playing, and they're all things that Cameron has taken on in his film as well. But this feels like a real precursor, not just to that Cameron film, but to like the storytelling that we like from people like Robert Altman and stuff, where we're capturing these snapshots of life. And there's one shot in this movie, Blake, that really drew me in, and it was the moment where I was like, oh, this is a masterpiece. Was there's just one quiet shot that's only about like 5 or 6 seconds long, which is in the empty dining hall. No one is around. It's just one lone shot of a table with a food trolley next to it. And that trolley just moves ever so slightly as if an incline has just happened. And that's the whole shot. And that was just when I just absolutely fell in love with what this movie was capturing. This is one of the very best films I've seen released on an imprint Blu-ray, and it snuck up on me so much. Because when this batch arrived to me, you know, it's all these epics from the past. Most of these are ancient set films. These are films that I do love when I watch them, but I don't get excited about them. This was the one that just blew me away, and I cannot wait to just continue my relationship with this film. It is fantastic. If you love James Cameron's Titanic, I really think you owe it to yourself to watch this movie to see where so much of the legend begins.
And I think also people who love the James Cameron Titanic, you know, one of the biggest movies of all time, there's questions in that movie like, oh, wasn't there a boat that was so close by that could have come and interceded? What happened here when they called out to other boats? And one of the things that James Cameron did as, you know, a filmmaking device was keep everything really close to what was happening on the boat and not give you any of these snapshots into other things. And that's where Roy Baker also shows a way that you could do it to build dramatic tension is like inaction in those other places or lack of communication and the tragic
slow down nature of how everything works back then.
Yeah. And just the ways that they have to communicate with one another. There's no pace, there's no things. And that becomes an agony of in and of itself. And so I think that that's firstly really special. What I agree with Lex is, again, if you've seen James Cameron's Titanic, the scale of the production, you know, it was famously, you know, a $200 million movie at the time, which is what it was, the most expensive film that was ever made to create the sets, to have the scale, to have the amount of people, to have this incredible tapestry of actors. And Cameron kind of takes one thing from Roy Baker. He's like, I am going to make this kind of like, I'm really going to focus on individual characters, but when this movie turns into hyperlinks, I'm going to cast it with like people who are quite established along these different things and limit the amount of perspectives in some ways that I'm going to get to, because I need my main characters to have interacted with the people that I'm going to focus on as part of this. But I, when you're watching this all unfold and watching how they build this incredible set, they build this incredible ship, you watch all these people get thrown into the water and watch the scale of this thing, I was just like, this is so state of the art and it's still fantastic and it looks fantastic and is scary. And I was just sort of joking, I was watching this and my wife was sitting with me and I go, recognize this? And she looked up at the screen for like 10 seconds, like not even, and she's like, it's Titanic. I'm like, no, it's not Titanic, but it is the RMS Titanic. Like it's Titanic. It's a night to remember. And so, yeah, I was quite flabbergasted with how affecting this still is. You know, I think when you look at a movie that's been remade or a story that's been retold, you're really looking for what is the essence and is it worthy of remake? And you can totally see why Cameron did it, because this is just such an affecting story. And he thought he could heighten it by, you know, creating a romance and creating a mystery and then getting to the really deep specifics that only someone in the, you know, the mid-90s could learn about the Titanic sinking to sort of augment and tell the story slightly differently. But there's something about Roy Baker's understanding of that British stiff upper lipness that I think everything happens at just that one-tenth more restrained before panic sets in. And so when the panic sets in, that's what blew me away, Lex. The performances of panic after everyone was like, oh, let's jolly ho, let's play some football on the decks with some ice. It's like, and then not too long after that, everyone's dying and it's dire straits. And it's special. It's a special movie, like a true blue classic. Yeah. And again, Imprint has now brought a couple of really stone cold classics to the fore, but this one is at a scale that I don't think they've brought to us yet. And I think it's really special. And there's a documentary we both watched on this. It's an old doco called The Making of a Night to Remember. It goes for an hour and there are so many. There's Bruce Hallenbeck track on here. There's a Shoot to Remember with a camera assistant, Mike Fox, which is I'm really dying to check out. You've got features from Matthew Sweet, our boy, Kim Newman, your guy, Joe Botting, as well as a whole bunch of other things on here. But that, even the making of a Night to Remember and where they shot it, how they did it, it's like a classic TV behind the scenes feature, and it just rips. It's fantastic that they're able to find it and get it on the disc. It's really special.
Yeah, I absolutely love this release. I love this movie. I can't wait to watch it again, to be honest. And I really made me really want to rewatch James Cameron's Titanic, because I haven't seen that for a really long time. And there's so much from this that he takes, like so much of the mythology and so much of like the lawmaking comes from the book that A Night to Remember is based on. And that's so much of where Cameron gets a lot of those little enriched moments, those little things that we know, those apocryphal tales that happened on the sinking of the Titanic. This is a really wonderful movie. It's my pick of the batch, easily, by far, bar none. It is beautiful. It's a great release. Please, everyone, just watch A Night to Remember. I want to be able to talk to people about this old-ass movie if I bump into anyone that listens to this podcast.
All right, ladies and gents, that has been the June batch of Imprint films on Imprint Companion. But please stay tuned, because it's been a hot minute since we were together, but we're going to come back pretty quickly with the July batch. We have it in our possession. It is a.
It is humongous, dude. I'm going crazy trying to watch all these films.
It's crazy. So, firstly, we have an incredible, directed by Jim Sheridan, box set, four Irish films: My Left Foot, The Field, In the Name of the Father, and The Boxer. And I know you might have heard of My Left Foot, obviously Academy Award for Daniel Day-Lewis, Academy Award nomination for In the Name of the Father, but The Boxer, for anyone out there who is a fan of boxing movies, and I'm talking The Rockies.
It's a great picture.
One of the best boxing movies ever made, and Day-Lewis is a guy who you know surrenders to kind of crazy method, and he does a spectacular job doing that.
Yeah. I'm a big Jim Sheridan fan, so I've been looking forward to this box set for a while. He is a very interesting filmmaker. These four Irish films, he's got a movie called In America, which is about Irish migrants in the early 2000s with Paddy Considine and Samantha Morton in New York. Think that is it's called In America.
Yeah.
In America. Beautiful movie. And also Get Rich or Die Trying. He directed Get Rich or Die Trying, which I'm always fascinated by.
I love when I hear those stories. Now, we've also got The Beast, which has got another Jason Patrick film, which Kevin Reynolds is kind of like an underrated 80s action film about a Soviet tank unit destroying a village in Afghanistan and then a member of the village vowing revenge. You've got the Christopher Walken Things to Do in Denver When You're Dead with Andy Garcia.
I love this movie. I haven't seen it since I was a little teenager. I can't wait to watch it again.
I haven't seen it in decades. I cannot wait to see it. We also have Robert Benton, who we did the commentary for his last film, Twilight, that was on the Imprint Films. His other fantastic film with Paul Newman, Nobody's Fool, gets its show on here, which is fantastic. And again, this is now another Ken Russell film that gets to come to us because and our last one was in the Harry Palmer set, but this one, Whore from 1991, is coming here. I cannot wait. More Ken Russell is always a good thing. So this is a pretty epic batch. They've already
there's even one more movie that you've forgotten.
What is it?
The Music of Chance, starring Mandy Patinkin and James Spader, Charles Durning, Samantha Mathis, Joel Grey, Chris Penn.
So many of our guys. And like, this is the other scary thing as we look for what's coming up in July. So we'll be talking about that one. August is another batch that's already been announced.
Oh, God.
And September has already been announced. The August imprint bundle that's already been announced has movies like On the Beach, An Essential Noir Collection 3. We also then have Scarlet Hour, I Am the Law, Secret of the Incas, Storm Center, Golden Boy, The World of Susie Wong, and then for this absolutely freaking stupid epic September batch.
Oh my God. September batch has got me freaking out.
I am freaking out.
We've got another Zhang Yimou coming out, which is the film called The Road Home. And there's also a huge Barfly box set.
Oh my
We've got
God.
The 1990s adaptation of Lolita, Harem. We've also got this one that I've been dying to watch, Dersu Uzala, an enthralling tale of eccentric Mongolian frontiersmen, and also a big double box of Barfly.
Oh, and you forgot one big one, Blue Chips, William Friedkin's film with Nick Nolte and Shaq, and commentary by our guy, Bilge Ibiri, is on here as
Yes, I can't wait to watch Blue Chips. It's been in my watch list for so long because I'm such a Friedkin head. Oh, my God. Like, Imprint is spoiling us with their releases coming out later this year. It is crazy.
Crazy indeed. Guys, thank you so much for listening to The Imprint Companion. We'll be back with you soon for that incredible July bundle. Thanks for listening to this June catch-up. Lex, great talking to you always. Tell me about what is happening in the podcast airwaves near you.
On Total Reboot, we're taking a little break after our Heist mini-series just because we are working on finding Yeezus, the documentary series we made with Auntie Donna down in Melbourne, which is a continuation of what we've been doing with finding the documentaries, the mystery investigations into popular culture. And that'll be coming out in September or so. But in the meantime, we're taking that little break. The next thing coming out on Total Reboot very soon is blockbuster summer 1982, the films that came out 40 years ago that still matter, E.T., Conan the Barbarian, Fast Times at Ridgemont High, the biggest summer the movies ever had, where all these classics came out at the same time. We're going to be looking at that and why those movies still matter. In the meantime, Blake over at One Heat Minute Productions in this feed as well, what are you putting out?
We're back onto Miami Nice. We're finishing up Tokyo Nice. We've got Too Much Movie cranking along with the Ghost and the Darkness up there. The Blues Brothers are Alexi and I on that feed as well, discussing things outside of Imprint Companion, but mostly Imprint Companion at the moment because, again, in case you haven't noticed, there's a lot of Imprint coming out.
There's a lot of Imprint
There's a lot of Imprint to cover, so we're going to be talking about that. We have been impacted, both Lex and I, and really the entire cinephile community, with the passing of a couple of absolutely titanic movie forces, your Ray Liotta's of the world, and particularly James Caan, who
and
is
Tony Sirico as well. We've got to give Tony Sirico a little shout out.
We have to say, I saw a great tweet that was like, there was a photo of the great Tony Sirico and great James Caan, both of them in singlets and suspenders, and say there were two guys in the whole world that could wear a singlet and suspenders, and we lost both of them in the same couple of months. The world is awful right now. But one of the films that, apart from things like The Gambler, which we've talked about, A Lady in a Cage, Flesh and Bone in the After Dark Neo Noir cinema box set that had James Caan in them in the imprint, one of the films that's been really important to me in my life is Michael Mann's Thief. So we are doing a very special one-off series about Thief, starring great voices such as Alexi Toliopoulos, starring a whole bunch of my great fans and cinephiles, people like Jan Johans, the best-selling New York Times best-selling author Sean Cosby, Jordan Harper, the great Travis Woods from Increment Vice. But we also are looking at talking to James Caan's co-star, Jim Belushi, to honor him and to say goodbye and to talk about Thief and Michael Mann and all things about his experience on that film. So I am so pleased. So hopefully you guys are listening to this and it will be coming up soon, but I'm going to absolutely take as much care as I can with it because James Caan is so special to me. That movie is so special to me and I want to honor it in the way that I think it deserves. So one-off little audio documentary love letter to Thief and to James Caan.
Beautiful stuff. Well, we'll see you guys very soon with our next imprint batch, the July batch. We'll probably separate that over a few episodes, I might say. There's a lot of movies coming out of that batch.
We might have to do a Sheridan episode and then maybe the rest, or we'll see how we're going to split it. But yeah,
we'll see how we go. Cover. There's a lot of movies coming out of that batch. And they're all really exciting. So we'll see you guys then. Until next time, enjoy cinema and keep spinning those discs. Take you back, doo-doo-doo-doo, take you back. Take you back, doo-doo-doo.